the silence around this unknown tomb. The difference for us is that the tomb is now empty. But still, I would like for us to take a moment of silence. Another part of worship is having the opportunity, as in 1 Corinthians 16, to lay by in stores. We've been prospered. We've been very blessed. We are a blessed people. And God gives us this opportunity to give back. We're just stewards, right? We'll have opportunity to give. They will pass the plates. There is also a box out here, and you can also give online. Let's thank God for our blessings. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you for this country that we live in, the life that we live in here in this North Alabama, the life that we live in here within this church. Thank you for church family and church life, being your children, being your servants, is our privilege and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together for this song, and we'll remain standing for the reading from God's Word, and then we'll be seated to hear the message from Austin. As I travel through this pilgrim
land, there is a friend who walks with me. Please be set me through the sinkings, and it is the Christ of Calvary. This will be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need my Jesus.
scripture reading this morning will be taken from Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 from the New King James Version. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem.
Morning, church. To our friends and family that we don't get to see all that often, I'm glad you are here with us today. That's always exciting. These weekends are good for a lot of reasons. The best is we get to gather with Lord's people on the Lord's day. And this is great. A couple things I need to mention, if you don't mind. You'll see these boxes that are up here. We're going to start packing the podium because we are heading out to East Point, Florida in about 60 days. We'll be taking supplies, cleaning supplies, food, clothes, etc. We are gathering a list and we'll distribute that to the congregation so we can fill this up to take and fill them up. Now, these are Bibles and we're taking boxes of Bibles. The missionaries there have specifically asked that we bring Bibles with no names on them because they want to give people their own Bible. That's a special gift. If you have any you'd like to donate, Bibles without names in them, so it can be special to those people who receive them, would you do that? You can hand them to me or to Mike Davidson, and we'll make sure they get up here. That would be fantastic. We need food, Bibles. If you'd like to donate money, you can do that. If you'd like to donate time in the end of July and go on the trip with us, that'd be wonderful. And be praying if you don't mind. Pray for those folks and pray for the work that's going to be done. All right, it's Memorial Day weekend. And that being as it is, we are probably thinking critically about the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. And so as we consider, no doubt, what the past has been, the people who fought to provide freedom, then protect freedom, freedoms that seem so free to us, but really are quite far from free. They're really costly. You're even maybe thinking about America and what America is. I don't really enjoy talking about America here because my citizenship is in heaven, and that's where I long to go and I long to be. But God has provided a free place from which many of you have even fought to protect. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate this country, and I appreciate this place and this citizenship. But aren't you troubled by it? Not by the citizenship, but the state of the nation. I could go in and give specifics about what's happening, what's being forced on children in public schools. I could talk about what we see in media each and every day, which is annoying, and I'm so tired of it, honestly. Just let me live with my own life in my own circle. Don't force feed me with things. Sometimes I might even hear the clamoring and the cry of, woe is our children, how horrific this place is for our children to grow up in. And I've even been guilty of saying it, oh, I wish it wasn't this way, this is terrible. And I do wish it wasn't this way, and it is terrible in a lot of ways. But, and I want us to get to that place. Even though what we see in society might be the decline of morality, I want us to get to this place. It is, but, and I want us to get here to start off in Acts chapter 17. that the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and of earth, he doesn't live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every single nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. Watch this. Having determined allotted periods, he determined time. And the boundaries of their dwelling place, he determined location. That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. And he determined purpose. And he's not far from us. Sure, the world is what it is, but, church, so is God. And no media agenda, no influencing group will ever win, because our God does. And that is a message we need to remember. But before we get too far off into America, because that's not our focus, our God is focused today, I want us to travel back in time to a place about 500 years before Christ lived on earth. That city is called Babylon. And Babylon is in modern-day Iraq, about 50 to 53 miles, people have said, and I've read that, 50 to 53 miles south, I believe it was south of Baghdad, I think that's where it was. That's the place in which Bible Babylon was, Old Testament Babylon was. And this place was the center of vile iniquity and evil and immorality. It was the capital of wickedness. And that's where God's people were. And God's people were there because they were being punished. Here's a wonderful thing about God. And it's wonderful until we're punished by it. God will give us what we insist on having. And if we insist on having things our way, oh, he'll let us have our way, but also the consequences of our way. If we insist on having sin, he will let us have the consequences of our sin and the punishment that comes from it. He will give us what we insist upon having, and he gave it to Israel. They wanted it their way. They wanted it sinfully in their way. And so the reward was this: punishment, banishment, captivity in Babylon. This was the center of wickedness, and it is exactly where his people were living. Now, you think you have it bad? I think a healthy thing to remember is others have had it worse. Others have had it worse, and God was still God. He still kept a remnant, and he was faithful to his people. And so no matter how bad things get, God will still be God. He will still be faithful to his people, but he will always keep a remnant too, church. And that's praiseworthy. Let's get to know the text a little bit, because what I want to do is go back to see what God did then and remind us that he can do it today. And I want to challenge you with something at the end. So in Ezra, Nehemiah, that's where we've been reading this past week in our In the Word, Anticipating Jesus Together. And I hope you've been there. Ezra was a quick read. Quite frankly, it was a nice change of pace from the Kings and the Chronicles. So we're in Ezra, and Ezra is historical. Why is it a nice change of pace? Because Ezra is history. And we read about it, and there's a flow of time and a chain of events that are unfolding before us. But what we need to know in Ezra and Nehemiah, there are three main leaders. Zerubbabel is the first guy that comes. And remind you, this happens about 500 years before Jesus comes on the earth. About 2,500 years before now. So that's the time frame we're looking at. Zerubbabel led God's people from Babylon back into the promised land of Canaan. And then Ezra came years afterwards, and he not only led the people back, but he led faithfulness to God spiritually. And then there's another guy named Nehemiah. You might know him because he built a wall. That wall was big, and that was a huge accomplishment. Those are the three leaders. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther are the three books of historical information. And it might even be the case that Esther happens within Ezra a couple of chapters. Like all of Esther happens right there. We just don't read about it chronologically. That's a neat little tidbit of information. You may not be excited about it as much as I am, but I like that. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Prophets are prophesying to Judah and to Israel as they're off into captivity and coming back into the promised land. Those prophets being Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And so this is a bit of a familiarity of the text. Now that you have that, let's look back to the scriptures and see what God did. Because what he did, church, I think he can still do. Isn't there a little verse that says how Jesus Christ is the same? What does it say? Yesterday, today, and his forever will be that way. Didn't God say, I am the I am, that he's unchanging? So yes, you know what he did, he still can do, if we let him. And so what we see first off, I hope you see, is how God restores. You see, the people of Israel were off in captivity, and that being as it was, they were in the center of wickedness. But notice at the very beginning of Ezra chapter 1, God did something. The Spirit of the Lord stirred up Cyrus the king. You see, God is working in restoration. What is restoration? To give back what once was. To bring back to a place that you used to be. Where was Israel? They used to be united in God's place, in a close proximity with him. But because he gave them what they insisted upon, they left. He caused them to leave. But God was working to stir up King Cyrus so his people could be restored back to the place. Not just to the place, but to the proximity of the Father. Not just proximity, but in deep connected relationship. This is beautiful. Church, God is working in restoration at all times. Do you think the people knew that Cyrus had been stirred up by the Lord, that God was doing that work behind the scenes? I don't think they knew it. But it was still happening. Right now, God is working to restore some soul, many souls. And I wonder if people even know it. Now that's a neat thought of what is happening in the background that God is doing that we don't even see. That's the truth I see from what he did, but what he also still can do. You see, the nation was not just restored in that they lived in the promised land. You can see in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the returned exiles. They also had the restoration of the altar and the temple in Ezra chapter 3. The first thing they did when they got back, that we have recorded in scripture, that is they rebuilt the altar. They built the altar because they knew if they were going to be in God's place, they want to worship God in his way. And it was vital to them. You see, worship was the heartbeat of God's people. And shouldn't it still be that way today, church? Yes. God is working in restoration. And when God is working in restoration, his word reveals the error of our ways. And when his word reveals the error of our ways, God causes his people, helps his people to repent from the error of those ways. And I'm so grateful for it. And so they rebuilt the altar. They were working to reestablish the temple. And there's a wonderful text we'll talk about in Bible class, how some people wept aloud when they saw the second temple being built because they remember as children the first temple. And it was not as beautiful or grand as what it used to be. Why? Because they were punished in their sin. And when they came back, they had to rebuild something, but it wasn't as glorious as it used to be. So they wept, but another group of people cheered loudly, cheered so loudly that there was this enormous cry from the people in Ezra chapter 3, verse 11. And the Bible says, and all the people shouted with great shouts, and when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Restoration is happening here. Now, priests and Levites, many of them and heads of the fathers' houses, these were old men, verse 12 says, who had seen the first house. They wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of the house being laid. Though many shouted aloud with joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shout from the sound of the people's weeping. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. The mixture. Wailing, weeping, celebration, exaltation. Isn't that us in worship sometimes? Aren't some of us brought to this place? Don't we come to this place with exaltation and celebration, feeling as if our hearts are clean and pure from the blood of Jesus Christ. We come being perfected to this place, and we celebrate and we exalt and we lift our hands and say thank you and praise to God. But isn't it also the case that some of us come here broken? By the way, all broken people are welcome. Not just welcome, but we urge you to be with us. One broken person to another, with our heads bowed low, our knees bent to the ground. We see it from Ezra. When Ezra in chapter 8 realized the sin of the people, what did Ezra do? Number one, he gathered a group of people to try and fix the problem. But when God's word revealed to him the error of their ways, he didn't just gather the people to fix the problem. He wept aloud. Ezra chapter 9, look at verses 3 through 5. As soon as I heard this, Ezra said, as soon as I heard this, I tore my garment and my cloak and pulled hair from my head and my beard and sat appalled. Some people sit appalled because they don't get their way. That's my little baby daughter right now. She throws a fit and just plops herself on the ground and it's just... And she'll do that. She'll pull hair. But why is she doing it? Well, she's a baby and she hasn't gotten her way. Sometimes we act like that as grown-ups too, for the record. That's not why Ezra did it, though. He had such a high view for God and faithfulness to God from the people that when he viewed God's holy people living in unholy ways, the only thing that his body could do is to fall to the ground, weep, ripping, tearing, crying. Why? Because they were in sin before the Father. And verse 4 speaks to the people. Then all who trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the faithlessness of the returned exiles, they gathered around me while I sat appalled until the evening sacrifice. If you haven't read Ezra 9 and 10, you need to go read that this afternoon. Because when God's people are being restored to where God wants them to be, not only is worship at the heartbeat of God's people, but repentance from sin. And everybody realizes that we have sin, we must repent of sin, and if God could lead people to do that, then church, you need to know that He can and He will do it today as well. And if any restoration needs to happen, it needs to be a continuation and maybe even a greater amount of repentance from God's people. Last time I checked, none of us are free from sin. None of us are good all on our own. When we are close to who God wants us to be, worship and repentance are at the heartbeat of who we become and who God helps us. Now, it's a wonderful thing how the scriptures speak to this. Psalm 51, verse 10, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and grant me a willing spirit that it might sustain me. God is working in restoration. He's even working right now. Who's in need? I'm in need. God is working in repentance right now through His Word. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 13, 14, and 15, let no one say when he is being tempted, I am being tempted by God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by what? His own desires. And desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Three signs that you're struggling with sin in your life. Something's being hidden that you don't want to talk about. You're allowing it to grow hidden. Does anybody know when somebody is actually conceived a baby? No, it's hidden. It's tucked away. You can't see it. And that's what sin is. When sin begins, it's hidden, it's tucked away, nobody can see it. And sometimes it grows without knowing it. That's sign number two. If it's growing, and other people don't know about it, but when it gives birth, death. God's people Our heartbeat is worship and repentance. And the beautiful thing about when God's people are worshiping and repenting, God is restoring and He is healing. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, well then He is faithful, not just faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What has God done? He restored the people. He revealed their error, and they repented of it. What can God still do? Restore His people, reveal our error, and cause us to repent. And church, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so the challenge that I want us to have today is to look back to God then and remind ourselves what He can do now. And what He can do now is not just restore us in a right relationship, but He can restore us to a place of victory. There's a Latin phrase called Christus Victus. What does it mean? That Christ is victorious. And going back to where I began, sometimes it is sad to look at the state of the nation. It is sad to look at the state of the family. It's sad to look at the state of the home. But what I want us to do today is be restored to victory. That God's going to win, and we need to walk around acting like it. Don't be just afraid for your children, but be faith-filled for your children. And fill your children with faith that they may walk around victorious. Because do you remember in Acts chapter 17 what Paul said at the Areopagus? He said, God, having determined the time and the place, He brought us all to that time and to that place. Think for a moment. What if God saw it fit that we live here now? I was not made for any other time. And I was not made for any other place. And neither were you. And so for the time for us to walk around defeated is over. And the time for us to rise victorious has come, but it is also now. And so what we do within ourselves and within our families is we raise faith. We breed and we grow faith in victory because He's already won it and He will continue to win it. John chapter 16, verse 33. Have no fear, you'll have tribulation in the world, but I've overcome the world. And so we raise children tasked by God with the opportunity to confront this world with the beautiful light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And church, they are able because you are able. Because God empowers His people when they return to the heartbeat of who they ought to be. We live victoriously. We live because He has caused us to live. I think that's what I've got to say today. There's more. Stay for Bible class. What's exciting is when I go back 2,500 years, the same God I see then is the same God we serve today. And it's amazing to see what He did with His people, isn't it? It's amazing what God can do with His people today too. And that starts with you. So if we can help you as a spiritual family, let me tell you this way. If there is something you have not done to be obedient to the Father, there's no other time than right now. I can't help but think of time. You know, getting to see my grandfather this past week, I don't know how much longer he's going to live. Time comes to an end. There's a funeral for today, this afternoon at Pleasant Valley, for a deacon who was coming home from his patrol as a neighborhood watch in the middle of the night. While turning, he was rear-ended, and he died in the med flight to Huntsville, died immediately. Time comes to an end. We've been a church that have had to suffer through tragedy of loss of children. Time comes to an end. And I think that's why Paul said in Ephesians, make the best use of time. What time do you have to be disobedient to God? None. So if there's anything you haven't done to be obedient to the Father, when is your time? It's now. And what is praiseworthy? It's that he's ready and he's willing if you are. Come broken. Come in need. Come for support and let him fill you in every way. He's able. And we're ready. If you need to come forward now, I'll be down here waiting. Or you can respond privately in your pew, but let's praise the God who is able. He was doing great things then, and he will do great things now. Let's stand up and sing.
With you what the teaching plan is for this summer. We have, rather than our normal summer series that we would normally do, we have a number of things that we hope will be exciting to you. We've got a lot of options and a lot of different classes to choose from. Specifically on our Wednesday nights, there's a sheet out in the foyer where you can see all the different teachers who we have, but each month on Wednesday nights you'll have five options for the adult classes to pick from. In the month of June, we have Ken Van Horn teaching in the auditorium the three great lessons from Jesus and the Apostles, Greg Allen on heavenly beings in the 49ers classroom, Lee Handley, the life of Paul in the ladies classroom, Tim Thompson in the book of Ruth in the family room, and then Don Williams will be teaching in the fellowship hall on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. In the month of July, we have Greg Elrod teaching archaeology here in the auditorium, Never Lost and Never Buried. David Gooch in the 49ers classroom on people of valor from the Old Testament. Jake Van Dyke will be in the ladies classroom on why did God create us. Ben McGuire and Brian McManus on raising children in the Lord in the family room. And then Austin Johnson will be in the fellowship hall teaching spiritual disciplines. And in the month of August, we have Mark Van Horn in the auditorium here on Philippians. Dax Holt in the 49ers classroom on studies in Exodus, A.J. Gooch in the ladies' room in Psalms 119, and then I'll be teaching in the family room on using media and technology in ministry, and then Mark Willingham will be in the fellowship hall on Am I Really a Pilgrim? So you have five options each Wednesday night to pick from, to go through for the month, and we hope that this will be an opportunity. I've mentioned this at area preachers' meetings and things, and people seem to be kind of excited about this as a different concept. I would encourage you to invite your friends, invite people from the community, and tell them about the class that you're excited about and get them to come with you on Wednesday nights and see all the variety of teachers. We really appreciate all of our folks that have stepped up to be willing to teach. It takes a lot of manpower. We've got 16 teachers just on Wednesday nights for the 3 months during the summer. So we really appreciate everybody stepping up and helping with that.
We're grateful that the elders challenged us to do this and came up with this idea. And these handouts will be on the visitation table out there on the far corner near the back door. Feel free to pick up one of those. On Wednesday nights also, we're going to be, we're going to be changing things as well. The ladies' class are taking a break for the next 3 months. There will not be a 49ers class. There will be the young professionals led by Austin Johnson be teaching that, a continuation in that class of things that they're going throughout in the Bible reading. And then Michael Shiflett and also Nick Hayes will be helping, continuing in the college-age classes. But with that idea in mind, on Sunday mornings, having already used 16 teachers, we wanted to try to do something a little different in here in the auditorium class. And so we decided to talk about the chosen ones, the apostles. And we're going to be dealing with all 14 of them, the 12 that we all know about, but then Paul the apostle and also Matthias. And so different ones will be speaking a week from today here in the auditorium class. Anthony Myers will be doing Peter on the 11th of June. Aubrey Stevens doing the Apostle Paul on the 18th, Apostle John by Mark Willingham, June 25th, Apostle Philip by Cal Dixon, Doubting Thomas, July 2nd, Steve Clark, July 9th, Judas Iscariot, Tyler Thompson. I'll be doing July 23rd, James Thaddeus and Simon. We don't know a whole lot about those three. That's why we're sort of putting them all together. And then on the 30th of July, James, the son of Zebedee, Justin Bateman. Beckman. August the 6th, Bartholomew, sometimes called Nathaniel. Chris Moran will be coming to speak on that occasion. August the 13th, Andrew, Peter's brother, Mike Davidson. August the 20th, Matthew the tax collector, Zaquan Kemp. And then August the 27th, Matthias by Ken Van Horn. There will also be handouts of this as well, but those will be on Sunday mornings in the auditorium class. And so we're excited. We're grateful that the elders challenged us to come up with these ideas. And they came up with the idea of the short courses, and then we took it from there. So we hope this will be helpful to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Austin. Thank you for being here. I hope that I know that I've been blessed. I think if you've been blessed by being here in this part of worship, say amen. All right. Well, we're glad to have you, and we thank you for being here. We want you to stay for our Bible classes that we're going to have in just a moment. I just want to say summertime is exciting for kids, right? But you look at what's going on in this church from 0 to 100, we ought to be excited about this summer. Some great opportunities, some great things are happening. So let's start this summer off right, and I thank our elders, our shepherds, and all those that are making these things happen, and let's just get involved. Let's stand for this last song together, and then we'll be led in closing prayer. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer for yearning, heart into heaven is turning. You will find the light.
Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, every one of us who is here this morning can say what a blessing it has been to be here this morning. Father, we feel so small and inadequate to even be able to approach you and to call you by your name. Father, we thank you for wanting to hear from us and for listening to us in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day and any situation that we find ourselves in. Thank you for always listening to us, and thank you that each one of us here can think of instances in our own lives where we prayed to you and you have answered our prayers. Father, thank you for giving us the faith to ask you. Pray that you'll continue to bless us with faith and with strength and with wisdom. Father, we thank you for every one of the teachers who is so qualified and so able and willing to teach this summer quarter. Thank you for every one of them that will be leading us in a class in one way or another. Father, we also thank you for the people who will be having Bible studies in their homes this next few months. Thank you that they're willing to host people, and thank you that people are willing to come together on a Monday or Tuesday and study your word in groups. We pray that we will not overlook anyone who wishes to study your word, that each of us would be willing to share your word with them and encourage them and to be a blessing to them. Father, we know that there are many who would like to be here in the assembly this morning, but sickness and illness prevents it. Father, there are two ladies that are core members of this congregation. Their families are pillars in this congregation, Father, that we're praying to you for. We pray to you for Carolyn Poole and for Carol Crunk. Father, we know that they've been through much, and we pray that you will give them strength. Please take away their pain and their illness and suffering. Help their families to be an encouragement to them, and help each of us to also be an encouragement. Father, we look forward to the day that we can see them back in the assemblies with us. Father, there are many others who are suffering and who will be undergoing surgeries or procedures this week or in the near future. We pray for Mrs. Gist, who will be having surgery. We pray for the ones who will be doing the surgery, that you'd give them a comfort night of rest and help them to have clear thoughts and steady hands as they perform the surgery. Father, we pray for so many who are suffering from illnesses such as dementia or Alzheimer's. We know that this is such a terrible disease that robs the memory and robs the mind, and where people don't even recognize their own family. Father, we pray for the scientists and doctors and technicians that are working on cures for diseases such as dementia, Alzheimer's, cancer, leukemia, and other things that seem to give us such trouble in these times. We ask that you bless them in their work and help them to find effective and good treatments for different diseases. Father, thank you that we live in a country where we're blessed to have doctors and professionals who can treat us and who can help us to be well with your help. Father, we pray that you would bless those wells that are going to be dug in Africa in memory of people of this congregation. Father, we pray that they can provide clean water and help to those villages. Father, we pray that your word can be spread by those wells, that people will come and know that your church has supported those wells and that people are willing and wanting to talk to them about you. Father, we pray for the mission to East Point, Florida. We pray for those who will be going, for those who will be supporting it, and for the supplies that will be brought to this congregation and others. We pray that you bless all the efforts to reach and teach the people in East Point and to help them. We pray for the upcoming classes, for the teachers that will be leading us in the next few minutes. Pray that you'd give them wisdom, help them to remember the things that they've studied. Help us all to participate and not to just sit in class and listen, but to participate and be active in class. Father, we thank you for those who have served this country in the past and for those who serve today. Thank you that they have
given up a part of their life that we can freely assemble to worship you. Thank you for that blessing and that privilege. Lord, we pray that you'll give us strength this week, and we pray that you'll bless those that are traveling. We know that many of our congregation are gone to different places. We ask that you would be with them, guide them, and help them to arrive and to return to us safely at the chosen time. Father, we thank you for so many who have come to visit with us, some visitors and people from other cities in this area. Thank you that they have arrived and that they have chosen to come together to worship you this morning. Father, we continue to ask you for wisdom for each of us. Pray that you'll help us to recognize the opportunities you put before us. Help us not to pass them by, but to act on those opportunities. And we pray for wisdom for our elders, for our teachers, for our deacons, and for everyone who has a part in leading in worship or helping us to learn more about your word. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us. Help us to do our best each day, and forgive us when we fail, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.